Michael Avery with Classic Business.
Well, it's time to talk about where the president could focus his attention in terms of getting our moribund economy growing again. And we're going to be focusing on one of our secondary industries tonight, primary and secondary, is agriculture. And obviously, it is an industry that holds a lot of potential, a lot of untapped potential in South Africa. I was reading a Frost and Sullivan report that believes we quite clearly have one of the most advanced refined food and beverage markets on the African continent, and we could see anywhere up to 7% growth in the sector by 2020. But surely we could be adding to that. And a big key to unlock the value chain is agro-processing. How do we ensure that we don't just export the raw produce and import it back in as jams and juices and the like? And it certainly was a focus of the president's recent recovery and stimulus plan ahead of the elections, and that was to focus on the agriculture industry. It's also the theme of the manufacturing indaba, one of the sub-themes, I should say, and it's coming up next month in June at the Sandton Convention Centre. The theme is agro-processing and looking for opportunities for growth. So it's a great pleasure to welcome some of the panellists who will be talking to the theme at the Manufacturing Indaba. Nduvo Rapulu heads up the National Cleaner Production Centre of South Africa. It's hosted by the Council for Scientific and Industrial Research, the CSIR, and it's all about resource efficiency and cleaner production programmes as part of the DTI as well. So, Ndivuho, great to see you again.
Good evening, Mike, and thank you for having me.
Also in the studio tonight, I've got Dr. Sifiso Ntombelo, who's the Chief Economist responsible for Trade Research and Economic Modelling at the National Agricultural Marketing Council of South Africa. And he's got a long list of key achievements here in the agro-processing space in the rural economy. I can't go through all of them, Dr. Ntombelo. Great to see you again.
Great to see you again, and good afternoon to the listeners.
And on the line, we've got Wandile Sehlobo, Chief Economist of the Agricultural Business Chamber of South Africa, AgBiz, someone who needs very little introduction as well. He was last year named the Agricultural Writers Agriculturalist of the Year. Wandile, great to chat again.
Now, thanks for having me on, Mike, and good evening, colleagues. I'm down there in the studio.
Perhaps you can kick us off here, Wandile. Agro-processing, what are we talking about when we talk agro-processing? Because we do have a very advanced agricultural sector, and there are some dominant players. You think of the likes of your Nestle's and your Tiger brands, and they create sauces and pastes and other food preparations with fresh produce. What do we talk about when we say agro-processing in the South African context?
No, I think, Mike, when we talk about the agro-processing, it goes beyond the food. It's the value-add part of the agriculture. But obviously, what really comes to mind when many people think about this is the food products, beverages, and all of that. But there's also some products like the wood and furniture products, the textile industries, the leather and the leather product industries, and all of those form part of what we call agro-processing. But obviously, the agro-processing on its own, about 50% of the activity that goes on there is what's related to the food sector. And it forms a big part of our manufacturing industry, and which is why I'm delighted that we're having this discussion, and it's also part of the sub-themes of, that's going on to happen on an upcoming event. Because if you look at the manufacturing side of South Africa, and the output part of it in there, roughly about 26% of the value is the food and beverages. But when you mix the overall thing that is related to agro-processing on its own, about a third of the value in there points up to all of those products that I've mentioned earlier, all the value add that is linked to the primary agricultural side. That's what we call the agro-processing in the context of South Africa and globally at large.
Dr. Ntombelo, when we look at the opportunities here, and I was saying to you off air that when I was down in the citrus region of the Western Cape not too long ago, driving through the likes of Tolbach and Ceres, one still gets struck by the stark contrasts here. We have such fertile farms exporting anything from table grapes to a whole variety of citrus. amongst an ocean of poverty. And we had the Durance protests not too long ago. So it's key to establish agro-processing in order to try and bridge that. What are the opportunities, but also what are the challenges? What do we need to get right in order to establish agro-processing in some of those regions?
I think when you're looking when you're looking at the agro-processing part of it, and taking it in the context of the South Africa as an economy that is shifting towards a developing state, moving to the secondary and tertiary sector, one of the things that we need to be started looking at it is the structure of how we have put on the infrastructure that can lock that potential of it. So that's the first part of it. Where do we put the infrastructure that can process and turn the raw material that we have? As you rightfully said, that we have that capability and quality of products we produce, whether you're looking at the fruits in the town in the Western Cape or the grains in the middle of the country. But the second element of it is to say then, how do we ensure that the labor component of the industry itself, as you say, how do we align it with the industry that is progressing into. So you realize that the agricultural sector has been mainly around farm laborers that are low skill. So now when you have the country that is producing over 145,000 graduates every year, which means that you now start have to look at the much more higher skills labor so that you can be able to create those jobs. And that's where agro-processing can give you that potential on it. So now, one of the areas we have really like to invest upon is some of the areas where people actually say, so if you're looking at the livestock industries, most of that comes from the outskirts of the country, like in the Eastern Cape and the Northern Cape. But the problem is the processing capacity of that sit within the inland part of it. So we need to find a way of diversifying the industry so that we can put infrastructures in areas where we didn't develop them in the past. And that will be able to also create an opportunity for the new entrants into the sector. But as I think the second component of it, which is very important, is that the moment you are able to develop your agro-processing part so that it can take on the primal product itself, you are able also to directly contribute to the inequality problem that you're having in the country, where you are reducing the inequality between those that have produced and those that you can't. And by also producing products where people actually consume it, you're also reducing the you're also improving the affordability of this food for people that they can have, so that you can take it directly those 13.8 million people we're currently having are living under poverty line in the country. So that's where we have to focus on. Our decision makers going forward is to say which commodities that our people consume and where do they consume the most, and then we have to put the infrastructure where they sit in it.
And there's so many points that you touched on there. Perhaps we can unpack them throughout the rest of the panel. And Dvuho, the one that really strikes home for me is the fact that we have invested in a labour force. Very often the children of the very farm workers who used to be consigned to the menial jobs of picking grapes, who've now gone off to a technical college or university and now have skills, but certainly can't be absorbed back into those same jobs that their parents undertook, picking grapes. They need to work in a far more skilled and intensive sector in the agro-processing sector downstream. How do we do that? Where are the opportunities that stick out right now from an industrial perspective for us to get some quick wins under our belt to demonstrate that this is a viable solution long-term?
Firstly, as Wandile and Sviso were talking, I realize agriculture is one of the oldest industry in the world. If you are a Christian, I would say from Genesis chapter 1, the first thing we did was agriculture and agro-processing. And I'm saying this because I believe that agriculture is one of the few sectors in the economy that accommodates both the low technical skilled labors and high tech skilled labors. But with the Industry 4.0, we now need to look at how are we transforming our industry from skills, from research, from a technology point of view to accommodate new research and new intellectual property rights on products that can come. If you're looking at the fact that you have almost over 100 rooibos tea patents in the world, and all of those are outside the country, if you were to bring them back in here, what impact would it have to those qualified graduates we have in the country? And you're looking at opportunities for industrial growth, but this is the most easiest one because the resources, it touches on land. So you also talks of empowerment. You're also talking about creating new value chains and opportunities, and it cuts across all sectors, because once a graduate plant scientist, you know that this means an impact on the value chain of a product which could have a number of market opportunities. So I think our systems should start to be integrated. We should link them up, and we should say, what is the value to the economy of South Africa for a product in Sifiso, say you take a B&B. If you look at it, everything in that B&B goes back to the farm. How does that B&B contributes from an academic, from a skills point, and also from a general labor point of view? So if we link and integrate our economic systems, which is at the moment, I think, like you were saying, we have not put an effort into doing that. So each sector is operating on its own in a silo, and each sector operates as if it does not depend on the other.
Who takes the lead, Sifiso, in doing that, in driving that sort of coordinated policy approach? And I ask at a time when we heard today that the president has reconvened a policy advisory unit, a crack team, so to speak, that was very prominent under the Mbeki administration to try and assess policy from a high level view.
I think the lead is basically all the social partners, because amongst the social partners, we have different parts that we have to contribute upon. So from the government perspective, we have to ensure that the policies are very crystal clear and there's certainty around it. And in terms of the business as being part of the social compact, is basically to identify some of those strategic areas that they feel has the potential to generate the investment they put into jobs creation, and including also the making sure that it's done in a productive and profitable and a sustainable way that takes into account also the greenness of the environment part of it. So all those, but again, when I like talking about the social partners, because it also includes the labor, so that labor doesn't just become part of. It's actually one of those guys that sit on the table to come up with the strategy. So we believe that that unit that's going to drive this policy now going forward will ensure that it takes the voices of even the voiceless within the sector that can be able to create those things. I wanted to touch on the issues that we're talking about in terms of the opportunity now going forward, and some of the areas which we would like to see happening, that is that when you're looking at traditionally the, and also the linkages which my fellow panelists is talking about, that integration within the rest of the village chain itself, that when you're looking at the agriculture and the agro-processing sector itself, and one of the areas we have not really done justice into them is to develop the local market so that it can be able to absorb some of the products we produce ourselves. We have solely depended much on the international markets for the very right reason, for cost that we generate the foreign exchange. But with the trade wars that we're starting to see happening and the changes from the tariffs into non-tariff measures like the Europe, which is no longer as lucrative as it seems, we have seen with the citrus industry, with the citrus black spot becoming a difficult part of it. So that now start telling us that we need to look back in our market and the regional market and start opening it up in a better way for that.
And the regional approach, Wandile, to bring you back in here, is the one that is certainly a key driver behind the African Continental Free Trade Area. So this happens at a time when we do have the tailwinds across the region for opening up new markets for these products. What are the challenges still, though, Wandile, in order to tap into a more regionally focused agro-processing growth-led strategy?
I mean, Mike, what the panelists are saying there is music to my ears, because the key thing here that I think maybe we should also just to frame on a discussion is that as a country in South Africa, it's not like the agro-processing side has not taken off. I mean, if you look, for example, 2001 to today, the agro-processing sector, even in terms of exports, they've been growing by an average about 10% on a year-on-year basis. We export over $6 billion of the agro-processing product. So the activity is there. But now the key question is saying, how do we make sure that the developing farmers or some of the other areas that are yet to really be developed in terms of agriculture are also integrated in a value chain to the very same initial point that Sifiso was raising in his opening remarks. And I think that's where the problem gets to be, on that alignment between, so that we don't get to have a dualistic structure in the agro-processing side, just like we have on the primary farming side. And as soon as we finish doing that, I think that the opportunities in the region, with all of the new trade agreements that have been signed, we have now the Continental Free Trade Agreement, it gives us room to actually be able to participate. Even on the European area side, we have room to participate in there. And the value of those exports that I was mentioning, over $6 billion US dollars that are going up, large part of it is going to the EU area as well as on the African continent side. And I think that on the African continent side, we can still increase our footprint in there. Because so far, aside from the value-added products, when you look at the raw material side, we're really still sending on grains and all of those things. And I think that we can increase our presence in the region. And all of that, though, as it happens, it has to make sure that at least there is a clear beneficiary side in terms of the farming side. We don't continue with the current system that is somewhat more dualistic. And unlocking all of that then is the questions that the colleagues are raising on that side, to say, how do we make sure then that some of the remote areas which currently don't have the agro-processing facilities, they get to have that. And I think these new policy development and policy discussions that are happening, they need to respond to those needs of integration and obviously linking on to the export markets.
We are faced with a conundrum. We want to grow the agricultural sector. We're also in the midst of a land reform debate and discussion centered on changing the constitution in section 25 and talk of expropriation without compensation. It makes investors rather nervous. How do we square the two? Nduvo, would you like to kick us off here? How do we ensure we don't squander this agro-processing opportunity on the altar of land reform?
I believe that the agro-processing sector gives us an opportunity to empower the masses of our country, to make them entrepreneurs and create enterprises that will be sustainable. If we could get them to have this capacity, not just the skill, but the capacity to understand the wealth that they sit with. Because a lot of this already in substantial farming going on in communities, you need that mentorship, or in agriculture we used to call it extension, agricultural extension. And if you could use that model or similar models to empower the people to use this to empower themselves, there are two things that I think should come on in the picture. One is the question of efficiency and the question of competitiveness. And that could also be affected by local knowledge systems. Half of the time when we go into these communities, we ignore the local knowledge that exists on certain products, and we ignore the quality that could come by integrating modern technology and existing rural technology. In our work as the NCPC, we find that when you go into a community and start teaching them about technology localization and bring something from outside, you easily lose them until you make them see the link of the technology you are bringing with their own expertise and skills and knowledge, and you begin to merge that. I also feel that strongly the agro-processing sector and its ability to impact on the economy requires some level of effort to link with the market. And Wandile spoke about the $6 billion, but we often ignore the sub-Saharan Africa or the African market when we talk. And already our retail market, our retail economic partners or players are playing in the African market. You look at ShopRite. Mm. How do we get ShopRite to be a stimulant to this product going out into the continent.
Absolutely, sending out those 40-foot containers overland on, you know, into Africa, laden with South African products that have been processed and manufactured here. Unfortunately, that is all the time we have for gents. It's going to be a fascinating and stimulating conversation at this year's manufacturing in Durban. Nduva Rapulu is a director of the NCPC, that's the National Cleaner Production Centre. Dr. Sifiso Ntombela, chief economist responsible for trade research and economic modelling at the National Agricultural Marketing Council, and Wandile Seklobo, chief agricultural economist at AgBiz. Sylvia A is getting ready to jazz it up for you in Cape Town, and in Gauteng, Carolyn Steyn celebrates her 1-year anniversary on air as part of the Classic family. So chapeau, Carolyn, sounding better than ever. Thanks for tuning in to the Classic Business Show, which was brought to you by Altron Technology Partners in your digital transformation journey. For more information, visit them at altron.com. Altron, there when it matters.